You can get it done. What's more, you gotta get it done.
There's a gleam, man. There's a gleam. Let's get the gleam, all right? Let's go.
Want a piece of that championship? Put it in here.
Hey, guys, where else would you rather be?
Welcome in to Hour 2 of Big Dog Sports Talk with Rick Watson on 105.3 The Bear. Join the conversation now on the Baker Team Hotline, 540-731-1053, or text Rick and the show at 744-2990. And now your host, the Big Dog, Rick Watson.
So you can draw us up in her spot right now, 731-1053. Barbara's moving. Text line 744-2990. Wayne sent a text message in about this whole recruiting thing and, you know, the lack of loyalty. You used to worry about other schools. You used to worry about the NFL, right? Kid after his junior year, oh, is he going to go or not? Now it's every year you're going to go, well, is a school going to come after him? I did look just now, like, some of the top stories around the country. If you look at recruiting, how many guys are trans, like, it's all portal guys or commitments leaving one school to go to the other. Boom, 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 boom. I'm just like, this is why when I hear about Tech, look, it's great. And I'm glad Coach Price got his momentum going. I've said this for the last, you know, we're about to complete our fourth year on the reboot here. That's hard to believe. August 3rd will be starting year 5. Whew. Anyway, that when all this news came down about the portal and transferring, okay, high school guys, that's great. All the effort that's put forth, time and money, it's crazy. It's crazy. So, I agree with Wayne. Yeah, okay. It's nice to see these guys. Will they be here? Will they develop? But also, as Al just said, and again, another very happy birthday to Big Al. At some point, you have to develop at some point, right? So you can put yourself in a position to transfer. How do coaching staffs adjust their mindset? I guess you just at some point have to be able to say, look, this is why you're going to see the whole NIL money treasure chests be focused on so much at every school. I mean, it's really going to be one of the few things you have that you can go to, because you don't know how a kid's going to come to your school and how he's going to react to the environment, to his playing time, to his coaching. How entitled is he? Or if he does have a good year, okay, well, you know what? I've got school A, B, C, D, E, F coming after me, man. I got some options. At some point, the only thing you may have left as a staff is, hey, we can give you this kind of money. And that's where this whole mucky muck kind of settles in and why it's so frustrating where we are with college sports. So, you just don't have that same feeling of loyalty, commitment, even if somebody commits. They're going to say all the right things. They're going to do all the right things. coming into it, all these kids that are announcing they're going to sign with Tech, hey, they're going to do all the right thing. I'm a Hokie. I've always wanted to be a Hokie. Can't wait to be a Hokie. I'm going to get my picture out there, my social media on the, you know, the setup that every school does when they take pictures of these guys wearing the uniforms. Hey, this is where I always wanted to be. And I go back to what was going on with Jim Schlossnagel comes back into this discussion. You remember how he embarrassed himself at the press conference after they got beat by Tennessee? He was the head baseball coach at A&M. Jumped all over a reporter who did nothing wrong. Then he took the Texas job the very next morning. Remember that? Guy asked a very honest question. And now he's saying that it's been the backlash against him from the people at College Station. It's just been something he could never fathom. He's saying, I knew it was going to be, I can't remember the word he used, but he goes, I didn't realize it was going to turn out to be apocalyptic. Says he's worried about his own safety now. Isn't that crazy? Well, he's not the first to do this. And this is where, again, as much as we're all just the whole NIL and the portal, I mean, just look at recent quotes. I'm going to give you quotes. I'm going to tell you who these coaches are. You ready? This is in 2021. I'm not going to be the next head coach at LSU. Who said that? Well, this coach was 100% correct when he emphatically shut down any rumors of him taking the LSU job during a Saturday night news conference after his team then lost in the game they call Bedlam. Yes, that's right. I'm talking about Lincoln Riley, who was then the Oklahoma coach. No, I'm not taking the LSU job. Oklahoma State had just beaten Oklahoma 37-33. But then, the very next day, it was an afternoon, that very same coach who said he wasn't going to LSU traded in those initials for three others and went to USC. Of course, star quarterback Caleb Williams followed Riley to Los Angeles from Norman. This coach, this was also in 2021, said, unless that fairy godmother comes by with that $250 million check, I'm not leaving. Well, this coach was at the most powerful entity in all of college sports. You know I'm talking about Brian Kelly, who was at Notre Dame, who ended up at LSU when Lincoln Riley decided not to go. $250 million. Why would I leave? Said Brian Kelly. I'm at Notre Dame. Because, well, now you're making well over $10 million a year. That's why. Whew. Crazy. Steve Sarkisian, 2013, we're doing something very special here. When he was at Washington, then he went to USC. I'm at my dream job here in Seattle. No, no, you're not. 2006, this coach said, I don't know how to say this more emphatically, I'm not going to be the Alabama football coach. That's when Nick Saban was the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. As rumors started circulating that he was going to take over for the recently fired Mike Shula. 2 weeks later, he resigned in Miami and took the Alabama job, and the rest, of course, was history. Tommy Tuberville, I just had a couple text messages about this. They'll have to carry me out of here in a pine box. And this might be the most famous quote of a coach who decided to depart. That was from Mississippi to rival Auburn. I'm guessing he traveled in a more conventional manner than a pine box when he went to Alabama to take the Auburn job. And then, of course, here that hits home. Wayne just sent it to me. This is just after a former women's basketball coach, Kenny Brooks, had gotten back to from Kentucky after basically accepting the job. Right now, there's a lot of talk and speculation or whatever. Obviously, if you have success, people are interested. But again, my focus is what we're doing right now. My kids are the most important thing to me. I have not heard about that tweet or that radio show host or whoever you're talking about. Remember, we had the quote from the Kentucky radio show host who said he was told that it was going to be Kenny Brooks. He was exactly right. Marshall is the only thing on my mind. Talking about the game that he had upcoming. The NCAA game. So there you go. So you have all these quotes. Right? You have all these quotes from these coaches. And you see, the whole point is none of it matters because they're all looking out for themselves. And they've been doing this long, long before the NIL or the portal allowed kids to kind of have something to defend themselves, right? So you had one area of it to the other. And now the players, the athletes are fighting back. Right? The players are fighting back. They now have their way. But you see, the coaches have been doing this. I mean, some of these quotes go all the way back. I mean, you can go back to pre-2000 with some of these things that are said. Schlossnagel's just been the one that embarrassed himself the most recently, the Texas A&M baseball coach. So, there you go. Did we just accept it when coaches did this? Right, I guess we had to. Players had to. Remember, they couldn't even transfer if their coach had left. They were stuck to that commitment. See, it's all these things that were totally irrational all these years from the NCAA that were completely irrational, that made no common sense. As they continued to collect all the money, and these coaches were allowed to go from address to address to address, didn't matter, because they were getting more money or more prestigious, there you go, that's the word I'm looking for, prestigious job. It was all hunky-dory. Hey, these kids are just going to have to deal with it. They're just going to have to deal with it. Well, now, coaches, if you're staying in your spot and kids are leaving hand over fist, you know what? You're just going to have to deal with it. Fans, we just have to deal with it. Good text message here. Universities agree to pay the ridiculous coaches' salaries over the past 20 years because they saw how much it impacted student enrollment. They parlayed that football excitement into huge increases in tuition for students taking majors that were not productive. Then this led to the players wanting to get paid. Couple that with the ineptitude of the NCAA, here we are. There you go. Well said. Well said. Big Al Kenny who? Don't want to hear anything else about Kenny Brooks ever, Tommy says. Yeah, I get it, man. I get it. It's the same thing, right? It's the same thing. If it was apocalyptic from the Texas A&M to Texas baseball move, imagine what it would have been like if he had brought his Kentucky team back into Castle Coliseum for this ACC-SEC challenge. They avoided that for a reason, didn't they? My guess is Tech probably didn't want that either because, you know, Tech was the one behind the whole West Virginia series stoppage because they were so concerned about, you know, fan safety and welfare. Cough, cough. Twenty-one minutes past the hour. Tim Thomas in about 15 minutes. More coming up.
BDST in the NRV.
Text line is popping on a Monday, 744-2990. Baker Team Hotline, 731-1053. Tim Thomas, in about 10 minutes, joins us on that Baker Team Hotline. Greg writes in, hearing about the whole ESPN Pat Tillman Award, Pat McAfee ripping them, giving it to Prince Harry. God in heaven, just to say that. Anyway. Says, you always talk about correctly so. He says, the self-awareness word. They have none there. No, they're only self-aware about their politics. Now, they only care about one thing, and that is their political messaging, their whatever it might be, their posturing, their everything is about what they're trying to groom their younger audience now, because I think most older audiences are done with ESPN other than watching the games. They simply don't care. They simply don't care. They're going to march forward, and they don't care. So, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Mark writes in, it's interesting listening to those quotes and remembering those press conferences. The louder and the more angry the reaction from the coach, it seems like that's the quicker they leave one school to the next. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Wouldn't it be great just to have, speaking of self-awareness, Schlossnagel should have just said this. Should have just said, when the guy asked him the question about Texas, he should have just said, yeah, they've reached out to me. We've had a lot of success here, you know. I know they're a big rival. I'd be really, really stupid if I didn't listen to what they had to say, right? I've had a great time here. This is my home right now, Texas A&M. They've given me no reason to look for another job, but here comes this school, and yeah, we've been talking. We'll see what happens. And then, even though A&M fan would have been upset, at least you could give, you could say, well, at least you'd respect him a little more. Right? At least you would respect him. Instead of just getting on there and telling this guy, boy, that's really selfish of you to ask that question. I can't believe you'd ask me that question. The audacity. Wayne says that ESPN was done when the sports reporters were taken off the air. Yeah, agreed. That was really the only original show they had that I really enjoyed. Those, of course, you know why, Wayne? They're the old school guys, right? They were the guys who were there reporting on sports, and that's not what ESPN does. Anything called the sports reporters, right, is a complete, it's the complete opposite of everything that they want to get across, so therefore they couldn't leave it on. I'm surprised PTI has stayed on. And the only reason it has is because the ratings are good on it, for one, and you do have two veteran sports reporters who I'm sure continue to, I guess, in some way, advance the ESPN messaging going forward. That's really the last show where you have a discussion that's actually intelligent about sports on that network. There's not one other thing that they do where you have an intelligent discussion about anything going on that's worthwhile in sports on that network that proclaims itself to be the worldwide leader. Mega props to Pat McAfee for spending time on Friday absolutely ripping his employer about giving the Pat Tillman Award to Prince Harry. Good for him. Now, they're too far committed to him financially. They're not going to say anything against him, and his ratings have started to go up. So their investment in him is going to prove to be, I think, one of the few good decisions that they've made, to be honest. But this is where we are with that network. Good text messages this morning. 744-2990. Well, regardless of what you think about all these high school kids and where they're going to go, where they say they're going to go, Tim Thomas will get you updated on all the latest weekend commitments from high schoolers to Virginia Tech and Brent Pry. When we come back here, we're halfway home on a Monday. Tim joins us next. 37 minutes past the hour. Text line's open for you, 744-2990. Joining us now on the program from the Tech Lunch Pail, his name is Tim Thomas. Tim, how are you? Good morning, my friend.
Rick, I am doing well. Hope you are also.
Yeah, man. Yeah, and I know, I don't know, you know, what people think about high school recruiting nowadays, especially for the future, but it was a good weekend for Virginia Tech in that regard.
Rick, it looks like the fruit of last week, not this past weekend, but the weekend prior, that final official visit weekend, continues to show up. I think it's, what, 8 or 9 commits now since that weekend, most of which visited on that weekend. You got 2025, you got 2026, and Peyton Falzone, the quarterback out of Pennsylvania, getting that class going, kind of a out-of-nowhere commit, but also visited that weekend as well. So, I've kind of worked reverse order here. You got 3-star defensive end Sherrod Henderson yesterday committing. Rick, I'm pretty impressed with this. I know there's a lot of people who I think thought Tech had a better chance than I did, but there was a point where Tech was not mentioned by Henderson to me as one of the schools standing out for him. Michigan State, Duke, Pitt, even USF, but Tech did not seem as forefront. And I got to give them credit. They clearly either that was not as accurate as I thought, or I think more so Tech worked their way back into this. And chase some of these schools down, Michigan State and Duke, and they held on to their positioning in that last official visit slot and got the deal done. So that was a solid win. Falzone, kind of this kid that blew up in June with offers from Tech, Penn State, and Syracuse. Interesting kind of story I heard about him. He was actually the backup wrestler for current Tech wrestler Sonny Sasso at his high school. Kind of an interesting connection there.
Yeah.
Falzone is a bigger quarterback, dual threat guy as well. I think he runs it up 111 seconds, just about. So, got some speed, but a little bigger of a quarterback as well. Then Friday, Jeff Overton Jr., I haven't watched the tape, Rick, but I don't know how this guy is a mid-3-star when he's like the Gatorade Offensive Player of the Year in Virginia. He's like the all-met up for the D.C. Metro Offensive Player of the Year. He's got Ohio State and Oregon who offered him and had big interest at various times along Tennessee, Penn State. South Carolina was heavily involved here. Maryland was heavily involved with Overton, UVA as well. The guy's put up 2,300-plus rushing yards in back-to-back seasons as a sophomore and junior in high school. I don't know why he's not... I don't know why he's not a bigger recruit, but he was big on Tech Ford, and that was a big recruiting victory for them. You had Nathaniel Wright on Thursday, 3-star offensive lineman out of the North Virginia. This battle's been over. It really feels like it's been over for a while. It's just waiting to formally close the deal, and they did. Pitt was involved some here, but this was all Tech for a while. I think you had Zeke Chinwick on Tuesday. I'm trying to make sure we hit on all of it here real quick. 7-5-7 defensive end, kind of Auburn May. Tech immediately had traction there. Third commit from Green Run High School in the 7-5-7 this cycle. So that was another really solid addition there. And I may be missing one from Monday last week, but it's been great. I think that just tells you the story right there. It's been a busy stretch here. A lot of commits. Tech has, really got some momentum going on the trail. And we've seen them do this before around this time of year. This is the time of year where you got to get your class together. Because if you don't, then the board's not going to be pretty because everybody else is by this point. So some good momentum, and I think you're going to see some more good news today, and maybe the biggest news yet from this run.
Tim Thomas joining us on the program from the Tech Lunch Bell. Good news can get better, you say, here on a Monday.
Yeah, you got four-star wide receiver Matthew Howden out, 7-5-7 announcing this afternoon. I am hearing very good things about Tech. He visited on that final official visit weekend. Over the weekend, I'm starting to hear the very good things about Tech as they battle Penn State and Maryland and some others for his commitment. I'm not alone. I think some of the people over at 24/7 Sports and other recruiting publications as well have been making predictions for Howden to Tech. And look, I'm not going to make a prediction, but I tell you this, I do feel pretty darn good right now about where Tech stands for Matthew Howden. Look, Rick, this is the type of bigger-time talent. I mean, this guy's a four-star by 24/7 at ESPN, out of the 7-5-7. This is the type of bigger talent that, if you're Tech, you need to get. And, beating out a Penn State for a guy Penn State wants, this is what Tech needs to do more and more to get to the level and get to that level in a sustained manner. And this would be another very good recruiting victory for Tech. It's another very good recruiting victory for Fontel Mines, who, Rick, imagine if you would have told someone a decade ago that the biggest recruiting strength for Virginia Tech would be wide receivers. I could have imagined that at any point. But Fontel Mines continues to be an ace on the recruiting trail for the Hokies. And once again, I mean, Texas in position potentially without him. They get Micah Matthews as well, the four-star receiver out of the Harrisonburg area. If they get him as well, it'll be a second straight class of being the top two in-state receivers at Tech. So, impressive stuff. Like I said, I like where they stand for Alden. And then we'll see. The 4th of July, we can see a lot of commitments pop up. This has become a busy time of year. It's become it's a holiday for many people. If you cover recruiting, it is not a holiday anymore. There is more a working holiday than it's ever been before. So a lot of celebrations coming in the coming week. And like I said, should be a good start to the 4th of July week. Yesterday with Henderson coming on board, and then I like where Tech stands for Alvin today.
Two impossible questions to ask you here. One, long-term, how many of these guys do you think not only stay here but can develop into players? And secondly, what would you guess, because I know it's happening because I talk to coaches all over the country, how much would you guess Tech's going to have to go ahead and advance high school classes in terms of NIL money that they're recruiting?
Yeah, Eric, I mean, let's be honest, I think everybody is. It may not be a ton,
right.
but there are ways to set it up to where the check is going to hit cash as soon as you can campus.
Right, right.
I think everybody knows that. And I will say, the first question, I don't know in some ways, how many are going to hit, how many are going to transfer?
Yeah.
It's hard to predict because what is all this going to look like in 3 years from now? What is it going to look like in 2026 even with revenue sharing? Is going to be in play by that point. Is there going to be a contractual type deal that's going to be in play by that point as well? I mean, there's so many dominoes. Are we going to have kind of almost an employee type deal? I don't know, Rick. There's so many things that could, we're starting to get this figured out, but we know this is not lasting long. The current way you manage a roster
right.
is not going to last too much longer. We, of course, think you want to kind of have that classic, at least a third or studs in the class, a third or productive players. And then, you know, let's see what you get out the other third. So you're hoping 14 guys, at least productive, 13, 14, I think, out of the 2021. That, I think, could be a number of 22, 23. Could like the 15, 16. So, I don't know. It's, you know, Rick, it's hard to predict these things.
It is.
You know, that's, like I said, who knows with the portal nowadays. I mean, that those numbers could be complete. You know, you're just looking for a 50-50 split, even, because then you can just move out to half the class and bring in some transfers. But who knows, if there's a contractual element that goes into play, it might go back to high school recruiting being more important because you can't get some of these guys out into the portal as much. The portals may not have as much going into the future. But then also, yeah, there's so many things, Rick. There's so many unknowns. It's part of what makes this sport fascinating, and it's part of what makes the sport right now full of headaches.
It does, and it almost seems like, well, I guess not even almost, right? I know basketball coaches feel much better about it. At least they know that for 1 year, once they get kids committed, that then they have to be on campus to start working. Really, like now, for instance, all the new players for Mike Young are here and they're working out. I mean, at least you know for a year what your roster is going to look like. I mean, for football down the road, I mean, it's hard. It's just it's got to be hard for these coaches to adjust as well.
Well, at least with football, I will say this. If you are in the upper echelon, you have a good idea, depending on how guys are developing, what this roster is going to look like or what you think it is. You have a little more, or at least a little bit of better. I was about to say good. You have a better idea than, say, a basketball coach who, I mean, look at Mike Young and the Tech men's basketball team. I mean, that's a completely different basketball team. Completely different. And basketball is a mess. Like, you know, we talk about the football. We talk about the football portal, but basketball right now is a complete mess. That sport is college men's basketball is broken. That's a whole other discussion for another day. But yeah, it becomes harder. But at the same time, I mean, I think it's almost put more pressure on guys to develop earlier. And if they don't, then you kind of want to move on because then you can go get new guys in the portal. It might be better, whether bounce backs or guys rising up the ranks or whatever. I mean, look at Tech. I think we've seen it common across the country. Tech in the spring window had like five guys enter. I think it was five or six guys, and they were all after being on campus 2 years. I mean, that's wild. I mean, they were all guys with 3 years of eligibility remaining. Or maybe four, maybe just, I mean, I'd have to think back on all that. But, yeah, I mean, we're just in a different era, Rick. And the thing is, this era may completely change and swing back a little the other way to some extent with new mechanics to it in just a couple of years. It's, you know, and we got into it briefly when I was talking with Brent Fry recently. And you know, the thing he asserted in that, in all the chaos and up roster management, how you do that at the end of the day is you got to have the balance to maintain your values. Whoever you're bringing in still, you got to maintain your values and the type of people and players you want, regardless of the methodology or whatever it comes down to. So at least that's his perspective on it. But, yeah, Rick, I don't envy these jobs. I do not envy it. And, you know, and then when I talk with Fry as well, another thing he mentioned, being a general manager. These coaches are more than ever general managers as well. And some schools are literally have guys titled general manager, which is crazy to think about that we've gotten to this point. But that's what you need now, you know, as well, both to help with the high school evaluation side of things and also the evaluation portal.
Tim, if you would, let people know if they want to follow all the recruiting updates and all the news, let them know how they can become a subscriber to the Lunch Pail.
Yeah, you go to techlunchpail.com. $7 a month, $70 a year. That's simple. Just got to go to techlunchpail.com, make an account. Hey, you don't want to become an insider today, want to wait to close the football season? You know, look, I think you're going to miss out on some great stuff leading up to it, but at the same time, just become a user. Get involved. You can customize the site even just as a user, but you get so much more as an insider. $7 a month, $70 a year, Rick. I mean, what a great deal that is. I mean, that's about as affordable as it gets in you know, for a team site, for great coverage on the ground, Rick. We are going to be traveling all over. We'll be down to ACC kickoff in Charlotte. We'll be, right now, we're planning to make some of these big, long trips this year, including trying to get out to the West Coast for that historic Tech at Stanford ACC game. As crazy of a sentence as that I just said. So best way to staff the Hokies, all the recruiting. We're starting to get towards football season. We're going to do some cool stuff here in the summer as we get closer. TechLunchBell.com. Become an insider today. $7 a month or save a little on a yearly basis. Become a yearly insider. $70 a year.
Well, all right, man. Sounds great. Great discussion as always, and we look forward to keeping up with what you're going to have to offer, all the reports this week, and I hope you have a great week, man, and a happy 4th of July.
Sure, Rick. Have a happy 4th of July to you as well.
There you go. That's Tim Thomas from the Tech Lunch Pail. Always a good discussion. Good news on the high school recruiting front for Tech football. We're coming back to wrap up Hour 2 when we come back after this.
Big Dog Sports Talk.
All right, welcome back. Hope everybody's doing okay here on this. Sometimes I forget what day it is. It's a Monday coming out of the weekend. It's 4th of July week. That's right. Everybody excited? Yeah. 744-2990. That's the text line. Baker Team Hotline, 731-1053. Tech doing well, and it's recruiting, obviously. But, I don't know. From what I hear, it's different on the basketball front now. We'll talk about that in Hour 3 and the approach that I know mid-majors at least are taking. And I'm guessing it's a little different and more advantageous just from the basketball side of things, because you have fewer roster spots that you have to replenish every year. So we'll talk about that a little bit leading off Hour 3. Like, for instance, yeah, there was a lot of turnover for Mike Young, right? Mike Young was aware that he was going to lose basically his entire team as they were beginning play in the ACC tournament. This isn't something that just kind of knocked him off his socks, right? I mean, these coaches know. Radford understood that it was going to have to bring in a lot of new players. Darius Nichols, they know either by from the player themselves or from what they've decided about how their roster needs to look. So from that standpoint, and knowing you need every year to think about, okay, well, 8 or 9 guys probably going to have to be replaced every year. You might be lucky. Let's say, for instance, you keep 3 to 4 players from the previous year. That is a good recruiting year for your own team. So I think it's just a matter of knowing that from a basketball perspective, mining those areas, and this is where communication that coaches have. It's a fraternity. And we'll talk about that a little bit. I think from a basketball perspective, in my mind, just from what I understand from it, even though it's frustrating, I don't want to use the term easier. It might be a little bit more simplistic. Does that make sense? Maybe. A little more simplistic. Wayne writes in, is there an understanding that Darius Nichols and Mike Young have that they will not, that Tech would never take a Radford player? No, there's no understanding. I think probably it would be a difficult thing for Mike Young to do. He's very close with Darius and Shane Nichols. Very close. I mean, they hang out most weekends together. So, yeah, I think that would be difficult. But, for instance, you know, Radford just had a player, Kenyon Giles, who is going down to play for Mike Jones at UNC Greensboro. And Mike Jones and Darius Nichols have a very close relationship. So, it could happen, sure. It could happen. I mean, it's... there's nothing there to say that they would not. Let's put it that way, if that answers your question. And somehow, even though it would not be good from a Radford perspective to lose players, at least if you know you're losing them to Mike Young, at least you know you're going to get coached well. And I don't know what else you can do at that point. Just say, yeah, that's a chance to go play in the ACC. All right, we'll be back. Hour three. Coming up.
BRWFM Blacksburg, the New River Valley's rock station. BRWFM Blacksburg, the New River Valley's rock station. 105.3.